Derby Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths. But a champion becomes a legend. McCarty Deaver has won it.
Hello and welcome to .com and the Den Mondays for another week. On this St. Patrick's Day, I'm Roger Aldridge and top of the morning to you, Richard Irvin from Wolf Den. What a magnificent day of racing we had on Saturday. Not the highest profile racing, but geez, the narratives that came out of it, that was something, and we'll get right into that today.
Great day of racing. I didn't know it was St. Patrick's Day, but that means I can have a beer tonight because it's the Irish thing to do. I think I have a bit of Irish blood in my veins somewhere, but yeah, great day of racing, and we're going to unpack it all, and we're going to look forward to this Saturday, which might be the best day of racing I've ever seen.
What was your excuse last night having a beer, Rich? If it wasn't
that it was Sunday, that I needed to just unwind after a long weekend.
The day before?
Saturday night.
And the day before that?
Friday night, start of the weekend.
There's always a reason, isn't there? And there's always a reason to check out good racing too. Let's kick off our Straight Six. Where else but Pride of Jenny?
The Straight Six.
Ah, it was a stunning return. Look, Zardozi's a good horse, but Jenny's used to taking on better fields than this. However, she had 8 weeks in the paddock, hits this first up at 1,800 after an eight-week prep. She's never won first up. 0 from 8, now 1 from 9. No matter who or how she won, this is a brilliant training performance and a bloody exciting horse that makes the autumn even more exciting, Richard.
Sure does. I think freshness was the key. I think that they probably had a pretty laissez-faire attitude around Pride of Jenny. Brought her back in the stable, just let her do her thing. She was very forward in that trial, and then they just put her out over 1,800 metres. Had an interesting point that by putting her out over 1,800 metres, she avoids those, you know, the CF4 and the Futurity, where you got those rock-hard, fit, aged, weight-for-age horses. So she came out there slightly less quality of field. Another interesting point was that there was no Gay or Adrian runner in there. Often when there's Gay or Adrian runners in there, makes it a little bit hard for her to do what she do. You just go out and roll in front and dictate terms. Mm. Kieran said she'd never been going better, so we probably should have listened.
And they do a lot of analytics too, Rich, like the way they look at the horses and a lot of the data, and they use it. So you've got to trust the stable in that respect. And look, it's all well and good in hindsight, and the case is, oh yeah, there was this was the reasons pointed to her coming out. I didn't think she could do it.
Yeah, no, I didn't really know what to think, but as soon as she jumped, you just knew, hang on, this is on here. I didn't have any real issue with Jamie Mellum's ride. You go back and look at it. She did everything she could. Nick Noonan made a really good point when I was listening to him yesterday. This is not Zardozi's grand final, so Jamie Mellum was probably not going to, you know, really flog Zardozi to try and take Pride of Jenny on. It's probably a good run for her leading into the Australian Cup, where it looks mostly like she'll go. The big question is, will Pride of Jenny go to the Australian Cup? Look,
she is.
Has Kieran Marr confirmed that this morning?
Tony Otterbury has been on radio this morning saying that is where she's headed. So she will go 2 weeks into the Australian Cup and then all going to plan. She will then go on to the Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, I desperately want to go in the Australian Cup. The only thing that occurred to me was, is it better just keep her really fresh? She's had this good run. Leave her 4 weeks in the Queen Elizabeth. But hey, if they go in the Australian Cup, great, because I'd love to see that. And just on the Queen Elizabeth, I looked at the market for that. I saw that Pride of Jenny was $9. V Sistina evens. If I could choose between taking evens V Sistina or $9 Pride of Jenny, I'd definitely rather take the $9. It reeks a bit of...
That's similar to last year's market, Rich. I mean, V Sistina went in off her first up victory, went into the Queen Elizabeth second up, and I think Pride of Jenny was coming off.
And Pride of Jenny failed in the Australian Cup, didn't run very well, and everyone forgot about her.
She didn't fail. I think she ran second, didn't she?
This is true, yeah. Sorry, she didn't fail. She just didn't win. But everyone got so caught up in the whole V Sistina boom, which obviously, you know, was warranted because she's a freak horse. But they just sort of forgot about Pride of Jenny. She was $7 or $8 on the day, and we all know what she did. What about Kanga shouting the bar?
Yeah, good marketing ploy from Kanga. Of course, he's the chairman of the Melbourne Racing Club at Caulfield. Everyone got a drink ticket going in, and then if Pride of Jenny wins, you can redeem that for a free drink. I've got a feeling he might have just said, regardless of what had happened, shout the bar. It's a way to get punters in.
Sure.
You know, it was Saturday, so they had an excuse too, Rich.
Yeah. Yep. Should we look at the Australian Cup market now?
We should, because this is fascinating. Now, the Australian Cup last year was a great race, and the intrigue was on the back of Pride of Jenny. Well, now she's heading there. We've spoken about this on previous editions of this show. The Australia Cup was shaping up as a fantastic race. Now, we don't know exactly who's going there. We do know that all going to play Pride of Jenny is. She has gone straight into the favouritism. Wasn't even in the market a couple of weeks ago. 350, Middle Earth 440 after its first up Australian win. Tom Kitten, I think he is going to stay in Melbourne, and, you know, because I don't think they want Tom Kitten and...
They talked about the George Ryder. I think that'd be... Why would you send him after the George Ryder? It's a hot field. He looks like he's going to really appreciate that 2,000 metres at Flemington.
Duke de Sessa is going to stay in Sydney.
For the Tancred, yep.
For the Tancred. Light infantryman is a good one here. Zardozzi, I think they'll want to split Zardozzi and Tom Kitten. Yes. Atishu obviously is one to watch. Another wheel hasn't been tested over 2,000 metres before. Buckaroo, of course, had a very big spruik last spring and a Group 1 winner as well. I really do like attrition if it's a dry track at $12.
Sure.
But this is a ripper, and pushing the Australia Cup back a few weeks has really added to it, I think.
And an interesting horse would be Deny Knowledge, not on the screen there, but if Deny Knowledge was to go in the race, obviously it likes to lead, won that good race, won that Group 1 over spring. I think it might have been the Yalumba, the Caulfield Stakes, won that race.
Definitely won a Group 1. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, I don't think
you're right. Yeah.
One of those Group 1s led the whole way. I think it was the Caulfield. I think Mr. Brightside was favourite. And that'd put an interesting dynamic into what Pride of Jenny likes to do. Should we move on, Rog?
Yeah, they're obviously all very experienced horses. At the other end of the scale, the showdown on the weekend, the $1 million showdown, Magor. Fantastic winning this race, a $14,000 purchase, and this is a $1 million race that he's won at start two. What a fight to the line, too. He had to do a stack of work from the outside draw, tried to get in and couldn't, so Damien Lane said, bugger it, we're going to go around, and pushed the button early. He was just about out on his feet towards the end there, but got home. He is going to be a very good horse. He's off to the paddock now, and I think that's an exciting horse to look for in his three-year-old season.
Yes, so he's named after Richie McCaw. There was a bit of a typo, a spelling error when they actually named him, but Richie McCaw would go 100 mile an hour from the start of a footy game to the end, obviously the famous All Black captain. That's what McGaw did. D Lane lit him up early, went to the lead or just about the lead. He had to work very hard for the entire race, but managed to win. And that, you know, shows the size of a horse with great fortitude. They offered a Hong Kong offer for him.
They rejected one, yeah.
They reject an offer from Hong Kong, sorry.
I get a couple more now.
Yeah, they'd be interesting to see if they do up the offer. I thought Chergai running on in the Godolphin Blue was one to watch, and has probably got a good race in him over the autumn.
This the horse, as I said, he's off to the paddock now. David Brown said that he's probably got another hand to grow, so he's going to be a very, very big horse. And you'd think the thought is sort of probably 1,400 metres in his sort of 3-4 year old years, he's going to be definitely one to watch. There was a good push for him from all the Pakenham trainers. Johnny Sadler, of course, whose horse ran second, was celebrated with the Brown crew. Moods gave it a good push on the Moody on the Mike podcast the other night too. So those Pakenham trainers had all seen McGaw in action. Yeah. His first start was impressive. And Damien Lane, he said last week, early in the week on radio, he was skipping Sydney to ride this horse in the $1 million race. So the signs were there, and if you got a good price, well done to you. All right, let's head up to Rose Hill now and the Pogo Pogo. The Golden Slipper picture gets a little bit clearer. This is the winner, Skyhook. Buried a box, took bad luck out of the equation, let fast horses run fast, as Moods would say. And you can see down the outside in the Coolmore colours, a horse you want to talk about, Rich, because you rate this win and you rate the sum behind it too.
Yeah, so I thought Skyhook was maybe the win, 2-year-old win of the season so far. If anyone can tell me what was a better win, I'm all open to it. He'll go into the Slipper, great chance. I think the Slipper is really going to be dictated about how the map looks, and I think a lot of the betting will be dictated on that. Of course, we've got to wait for the barrier draw, which will be on Tuesday. State Visit down the outside, Coolmore Horse. We're actually at Coolmore during the week, and they were talking quite a lot about State Visit. They think it's got great potential. I actually heard Ronnie Duffesy spruiking it on Thoroughbred Weekly, basically saying that it's a size champagne horse. When I had a look, I think you can get $15 or something about it. So maybe have something on that. Should we move on?
Well, just on Skyhill quickly, an early morning incident where he slipped and had a knee abrasion and actually needed a vet check to be past fit to run in this race. He was certainly fit. A little green in those concluding stages. But, yeah, very, very much in the mix and an impressive win, as you say. If we look now to the Magic Knight, now Kieran McAvoy had a double. He rode Skyhook and Memo, who the victor here coming down the outside. Now, if you watch this race in its entirety, McAvoy's on the fence for a lot of it, and then around the home turn, doesn't just peel out, but peels right to the wide outside. He knew exactly the sort of horse he had beneath him, and with that turn of foot, the inside was a little off. They were not making ground on the inside. Whether that was evident at this point of day, it certainly was later in the day, but he went wide and won this race. I thought it was a terrific ride and a very good win.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. My feeling was that Memo won't go to the Golden Slipper, which I sort of feel because Peter Snowden doesn't think it's quite up to slipper quality, so I thought it.
And maybe not. I'm just saying that that ride in particular was fantastic.
The win
exactly
against...
what she beat, I'm not sure.
Sure. But almost certainly won't go to the slipper for Memo. We'll go into the Percy Sykes. She'd obviously be a great chance in that. Strada Varina, our friends from the Ladbrokes Racing Club. Their horse, bit disappointing, just seemed to really flounder in that last 100 metres. Probably got to drop it back in grade, but it's got ability, Strada Varina. It was favourite, which is why I talk about it. Let's go and have a look at the Golden Slipper market. Woden, I guarantee you, you'll get at least
$7.50.
Sorry.
So based on the weekend, well, you were saying double figure odds last week. Do you think? So you would say Skyhook at $7 is good value based on that win, given that how impressed you were with that. Within the law was super impressive in needs last.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's there's a you know, I think you just got to sit down and work out three horses that you think are the best and just back them all because you can get a decent price.
I think you're on the money, no pun intended, a couple of minutes ago when you said wait for the barrier draw, because the barrier draw is going to be super important in this race, because there is no dominant two-year-old, and often the dominant two-year-old doesn't even win the Golden Slipper.
That's right. Well, I think what Skyhook definitely did is make Woden even more chance to get out in the market now. As you know, Skyhook really basically was the first horse that really stood up and said, I can win the slipper. So, yeah, wait for the barrier draw, which will be tomorrow.
Devil Knight, the Blue Diamond, win at that Blue Diamond.
I mean, you know, you're looking at that, they can all win it. It's the only, like, West of Swindon is a bit of a query about it. But every other horse I look at there, I think, you know, got really strong claims as to why they win the slipper. Even just, for example, Bellazane in North England, trained by Gay and Adrian. They know how to train slipper winners. Let's move on.
Let's go back to Caulfield. Tatsumuki. Now, this is almost up there with Prodigy for racing story of the week. Won its first three starts in the UK. Went to Hong Kong, never raced. This was his first start since his three-year-old season. October 2021, he last raced. It was 1,260 days between starts. He had three trials. He won all of them too. How excited is this? And the sectional times, I think I'm sure they said about 57 something for his first for the 1,000.
Yeah, flying along. Great job by the Hayes boys. Nick Noonan was very bullish on it and said that put in your black book because the Hayes boys are very good at placing these horses, and he thinks wherever it pops up next, it'll be a max bet job. Do with that information what you want. I don't have much more to say, Rod. You summed it up really well.
I think he'll go to probably a black type race after this. I don't think he carried 60 odd kilos there. So back into another benchmark race, he's going to be carrying a lot of weight. He's certainly talented. The Hayes boys know what they're doing. They'll pick the right race, as you said. Stewart note on this one, laid out under pressure over the final 150. Post race showed that the gelding pulled up with heat stress. So he actually needs a vet clearance before racing again. And it was 36 odd degrees there on Saturday. So no surprises, but definitely one to watch. Exciting to have a horse of that quality going around in Melbourne. What else is exciting is Lady Shenandoah. She is the class of the three-year-olds, male or female. What more can you say about her? J-Mac reckons she's the best horse of her generation, as in her year. Well, that's almost hard to argue. She is clearly the best three-year-old in the land. This was their toughest test by far against the older horse's nasty draw. I think she was carrying 3 kilos above weight for age. So, yeah, she's a star.
Yeah, and I think that when Waller decided to run her in this, you knew that she was really, really ready for it and really forward, because he likes to cuddle his three-year-old fillies a bit. He actually compared her a little bit to Winx in saying that, you know, she's well ahead of Winx at the same age. Great ride by J-Mac, probably the best ride from him of his day. Lady Camelot, fantastic again. She's going to go to the Queen of the Turf, which is filly and mare's only race.
She has exceeded expectations as far as I'm concerned. Now, she hasn't won races, but that's because she's been going up against Lady Shenandoah every time. But her preparation's been fantastic.
Yeah, I thought they might put her in the Doncaster, but apparently she's going to go to the Queen of the Turf, which is a 1,600-metre race, day two of the championships. Amelia's Jewel wasn't great. She had 58 kilograms, bit of an excuse. I think they just need to do what they did last start, find the right races for her. They obviously want to try and win a group one with it over on the Eastern Seaboard, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. I think they just need to duck and weave, find good races for her that she can win, and maybe she goes to the breeding barn. I don't know what the motivation of the owners are, whether they want to go and breed off her or keep her racing.
The Amelia Park, so they, they're a breeding operation, I think. So, look, Simon Miller always thought she was a mile or further, but he was going over the sprint trips because That was where the money was. Was 1500 a bit short? She was also she didn't make too much ground where she was in the run, but it was still disappointing nonetheless.
Sure. And Firestorm, you've got to take notice of her. She'll be probably one of Waller's best chances of the Doncaster, 50 kilos. Yeah.
Firestorm's another one. I think I've said it a few times, that the horses whose names confuse you as to what sex they are. Now, we know Firestorm is female because she was in the Coolmore. But Firestorm to me is a boy's name.
Sounds a masculine name.
Very masculine.
Like my little six-year-old boy who's obsessed with playing with fire. Like most six-year-old boys.
You might want to get him some help along the way. They're rich.
We'll talk about that afterwards.
Yeah, that could end badly for you. Vauban came out to Australia twice.
This could have ended badly, but it hasn't.
Well, I was on Vauban both Melbourne Cups. You cannot underestimate this as a training performance from Gay and Adrian. This horse is a star who didn't fire a shot in those Melbourne Cups. Now he's trained here. He wins first up, albeit against moderate opposition. But if he has acclimatised now, and that was what the problem was in the spring, though, like he wasn't given enough time to acclimatise. He's been here now 6 months. If he's at his peak, he'll dominate our staying ranks because his form overseas dwarfs that of our middling stayers.
Yeah, the strong point from all the analysts over the weekend was what a great job Gay and Adrian have done to inject speed back into his legs because he's a hurdler, you know, going over 4,000 metres and train for the Melbourne Cup. But that was the win of a really dynamic weight for age performer. Arapahoe was obviously really good as well. Lindemann, not too bad. I did hear Wallace saying during the week that they're thinking about the Australian Cup for Lindemann. So,
geez, Lindemann was bad if you took the buck 70, though.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I mean, it just had that, obviously, it had that fantastic form around Via Sestina and stuff. And yeah, just, I was surprised. I didn't bet in the race, but I probably would have backed Lindemann. But it was $1.70, which made Vauban get all the way out to $9 SP. Incredible, eh?
Hey, just quickly before we, this isn't in the rundown, but I'm going off script here. But when we speak about great running performances, Chris Waller won his eighth out of the last 10 Farlaps. Which he decided to go there instead of the Coolmore. Tommy Berry, this was his second victory in the race. You know what his other one was?
No.
Winx.
Oh, there you go. Really?
Which I think was Waller's first in that run of eight Farlap stakes. Anyway, I digress. What should we do now? How about
a market
for the Tancred? Because,
yes,
as mentioned, if Vauban has acclimatised, then he will make a mess of our middling stays. Dubai Honor is not one of our middling stays. 360 second in the market. Duke de Cessa, $5. The Caulfield Cup winner, Arapahoe, sevens, along with Faulkner Park. Interesting market here, but yes, look, there was a lot to like about Vauban.
Yep. He'll be right in the thick of that race. And as you say, Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup, away he goes to them. I guess he's got to be careful how he goes at weight for age because he can get too much weight in those races. But I'd imagine that's the goal. They want to get their $2 million back, so you need to try and get the $5 million first prize or whatever it is for the Melbourne Cup.
Quickly now to the win of the day, poll. And, well,
Jenny, she's done it.
This is a stunt called Moral, isn't it?
Anyone who shouts drinks is always going to be the most popular.
Exactly. So Pride of Jenny, 43% of the vote is the victor there in the win of the day. Let's go now to the Stewards Speed Round.
Stewards Room Speed Round.
All right. In race four, Mark Zara reported that Documentary felt uncomfortable in its action and a post-race bet revealed a slower than normal recovery. That horse is off for a spell. Tatsumuki, as mentioned, heat stress, needs a vet clearance. King's Coronation in race five was lame. Vet clearance needed. Race six, plenty of ammo. The horse that I thought could beat Pride of Jenny. It was awful, but it had cardiac arrhythmia, so I'm taking that as not that I'm a really bad punter. Vet clearance needed. Rohesia was lame in race eight. Vet clearance. Nostra Bella laceration needs a vet clearance out of race eight as well. Race 10, Mix It. Oh, it was a shocker. Pulled up in the run. Poor performance. It's going to have to jump out before it can go to the races again. Interesting. Race seven, She's Got Pizzazz. Passing the 100 was struck on the nose by the whip of Mickey D on Winner's Edge, who won the race. So got beaten 0.15 of a length. She's Got Pizzazz. So maybe that affected her. Maybe it helped her get closer. I don't know. Suspensions, none at Caulfield. Zach Lloyd got one. Race nine at Rose Hill for Willa, I think it was Willie Adow. 10 days.
Later,
whatever. Names always screw with me, Rich. You know that. Race two, Father's Day, lame. Race three, Comedy, lame. Race seven, Omni-Man, lame. And race eight, Crimson and Bell, wound to the head. So that's the issues out of Rose Hill. Time now for Cook the Book.
Cook the Book.
All right, let's get into it. Cook the Book for another week. Joining me, of course, Tom Hackett from Ladbrokes, Kingsley Bartholomew from The Den. Tommy, it was only a small field in the Peter Young, but I imagine it was an intriguing betting race. And Brighter Jenny was well on the drift. Were punters as wary as what the pros were?
No, it certainly wasn't. Certainly wasn't unbackable. She was actually our worst result in the race. She was a losing result of just over 100,000. But I think the fact that Zardozi was in the race as well, who did account for about half our hold on the race, did make things a little bit interesting as well. But she was the ultimate question mark, Pride of Jenny. Like, obviously, that horrible first up record. It did look like obviously she was retired. It did look like she'd had enough at the end of last spring, but it's great to see her back and winning, because I do think she is great for racing, and she's great for these weight for age races because she does ensure that we do get a genuine tempo. So I certainly wasn't on her on Saturday. I'd back Zardozi, but I was pleased to see her back, because I do honestly think she's good for racing on a number of levels.
What about your bookmakers though? I mean, she got out to, I think, $3.90 at one stage. Were they taking her on?
Yeah, well, she ended up jumping $4 SP. So I know, well, we were certainly taking her on. We were happy to let the punters on there. I think it was still the right play there with that record first up, coming off a bleed, having been retired. I do think that she was a good lay in that scenario. But she got the job done. So credit to Connections for getting her back. I think it was a good Froggy Newitt ride as well. He took advantage of her strength, and it's now going to be intriguing to see her going forward. Maybe we see her in another Queen Elizabeth.
Her strength is his strength, front-running ride. Hey, Kings, could you ever entertain backing a horse, no matter how good, who's winless from eight first-up runs, resuming over 1,800 after an eight-week prep following an eight-week enforced layoff for a bleed? I mean, there's a few crosses there.
It's a big ask, isn't it? But, yeah, I suppose it all comes down to price in the end. But I saw Ladbrokes were 20 cents over. They got her out to 420, but a lot of it just comes down to price in the end. If you're betting off prices, you could have marked her a bit shorter than that. I mean, we know how good she is at her best. The question mark was she going to be? And word on the street was she wasn't ready. So if she's got improvement in her, then watch out. But, yeah, I mean, I was against her. I took 6-4 Zardozi and did my money. She surprised me, that's for sure.
Yeah, as we touched on earlier, she'll go to an Australia Cup and then on to a Queen Elizabeth if everything goes to plan. So that Australia Cup market, I'd imagine they'll come for it there. Tommy, there was a strong push around from a lot of experts from McGaw in the showdown, but he remained at a really backable price. We hadn't actually SP'd at $6.50, I think. So was there as much action in that race in general? And what was the result for the book in the showdown?
It was a good betting race. There was money for a few different horses, but punters did definitely circle around Kiliana. That was comfortably our worst result in the race. It would have been close to a $250,000 loser. We didn't see a huge amount of interest for McGill. Not a huge amount of that money ended up with us, and we were top of the market there at the $6.50, but ended up being a winning result of just over $100,000 for us. So interesting betting race. With the two-year-old races so far this year in both Sydney and Melbourne, I still think they're trying to work it out. So head into the Golden Slipper this weekend. I think that's going to be a really interesting betting race.
Punters are always trying to work out two-year-old races. A bloody nightmare. Kings, do you bet in two-year-old races or do you largely steer clear of the babies?
No, I enjoy betting in the two-year-old races. I take part for sure. But we can see, like, McGaw there on the weekend drew the car park in 13. Everyone thought Damien Lane was going to go back. But what a great ride, punching forward with some positivity and sitting outside the lead and then even going on with it and going to the lead. But that's, we saw Kiliana. It's a classic example of what we thought was going to happen, and it didn't happen. But Kiliana was about 350 into about 260 or something like that. McGaw with $4 out to 650. And a lot of it was just map related for Caulfield, and it didn't pan out that way. So when you are betting in those two-year-old races, you can cop it sometimes with change of tactics, and often they've only had one start, so you're only going off that one start. And things change, horses improve, so it can be a lottery some of the time.
Tom, the Group 1 in Sydney saw Lady Shenandoah win again. She did drift, though. How did the punters attack the Coolmore? Because obviously she was against the older horses and from a wide gate. Were they playing with caution, or do they see her as a once-in-a-generation horse, as I think J-Mac dubbed her on Channel 7?
They certainly weren't playing with caution. She's becoming a very popular horse for the punters, Lady Shenandoah. We were bottom of the market. We were trying to keep her safe in this race in the Coolmore Classic, but punters were still piling on regardless. She was our only losing result in the race, ended up being a losing result of over $300,000. So she's becoming very, very popular. I guess her last two race wins, she's really had to tough it out. It certainly hasn't been processions like sometimes you do see at these shorter prices. So I'd be interested to see her going forward. But now punters are definitely getting around her in a big way. She was in all the all-ups this weekend as well.
I better clarify that because I can see the commenters just lining up. He did not say she was a once-in-a-generation horse. That would be a winx. He said she was the best of her generation, as in the best of her year, which I think is hard to argue. And I think that means that she's going to be kept very safe moving forward, although she might head to the paddock now, Tommy. But I dare say when she comes back, bookies will be just keeping her very, very safe.
Yeah, I think she's probably in an interesting position now where she probably, I think, yeah, she is the best of her generation. She's now beaten the older mares, but we still haven't, if she went to a race like a Doncaster, for instance, I think that's another challenge again. So I think obviously she's a very good filly, but I still think the jury's out as to whether she's a top, top liner and that whether she'll be able to stack up at weight for age level as a four-year-old. We do know that things do get a lot tougher for the three-year-old fillies when they do go from three to four. So I think she'll be kept safe to a point, depending on the company she's racing in. But I do think once she does get to open age, weight for age level, that you still might be able to get on it at a decent price.
Hey, Kings, are there any? We've got six Group 1s this weekend. I always say there's too many Group 1s. Six on the weekend. Is there anything you'll be playing early? William Reid in the only one in Melbourne and the other five at Rose Hill on Saturday, Golden Slipper Day.
Just on what you're talking about there, firstly, how big a run was Lady of Camelot?
Yes,
huge. At 3 and 4 wide with no cover. I was very surprised Tim Clark didn't go forward and sit outside the leader there, Manal. It's very surprising. But to me, Lady of Camelot is off those last two runs is just as bit, if not better than Lady Shenandoah, and only got beat less than a length there. So she's my horse to follow out of Saturday.
Just shades of Haylist Kings.
Yeah, exactly. Saturday, the William Reid I had a quick look at down in Melbourne. Doesn't look a lot of pace on paper in the William Reid. I know the final field hasn't been finalised yet, but I think we've got Jimmy Starr heading the betting there, and I think the Oakley Plate is the form race. To me, she's bulletproof. Look, good odds at $7. I think it'll be better suited than a lot of those other horses at Moonee Valley, and I mentioned this before. Look for horses that are going to be suited at Moonee Valley more so than a Caulfield or a Flemington, but I thought $7 was a very attractive price.
Hey, Tommy, I better ask before we let you go, the overall result, Melbourne and Sydney on the weekend, how did it look fair? Because the punters have been on top of late, as we know.
Yeah, the punters have been on top. A book finish in front on Saturday, but a small win. It was pretty competitive, particularly in Sydney with Lady Shenandoah. There was some good results earlier for the punters as well. There was a big go for J-Max Ride in the last. It was Les Vampires, who was the favourite early, wasn't particularly well backed, and they came for Harlem Queen, who ended up being, would have been a $500,000 loser for the book. So that was probably the turning. That was what made the day in Sydney. And in general, it was a small winning day for the book at Caulfield as well. So we've ended the losing streak at least, but this is where we get serious from this Saturday. It's a salivating day of racing in both Sydney and Melbourne.
That winner in the last, that's a genuine piss take, isn't it? It's Les Vampire. Let's not get fancy. Let's keep it simple.
Les the Vampire. As long as it keeps winning, as long as it keeps winning with me on it, Rog, I don't care what.
Well, you did have it as your best of the day on Moody on the Mic last week. Don't worry. I took note. I backed it. Thanks very much for that. And thank you very much, both of you, for another edition of Cook the Book right here on .com and the Den Mondays. We'll see you next week.
Sneak peek.
Super Saturday is a term that gets thrown around a lot. Fox Footy do it every Saturday in rugby league and AFL coverage. They call the Newmarket Day Super Saturday, but it's only got two Group 1s. This Saturday is Super Saturday, Richard. Five Group 1s in Sydney, one in Melbourne with the William Reid. Here is the market for the only Melbourne Group 1. Jimmy Starr, $4. Last Start Group 1 winner. Benedetta, first time at the Valley, $6. Jolly Star coming off a victory in the Newmarket is $7, along with Private Harry, who's not going there. She's bulletproof, is also $7. Yes, Growing Empire is a lot better at the Valley as well. Estrella,
it's not going, though.
It's not going? We'll probably don't back it then.
No.
But that is our market, Richard.
And we will be at the Valley on a Saturday, Rod. You any chance to be at the Valley on Saturday? We'll be live streaming from the Winx Room, which is always a great privilege. We're doing a Mates Mode pot with the boys from racing.com as well. You can get involved in that on the Ladbrokes app.
I would love to be there Saturday, Richard. I will be in the Channel 10 newsroom.
That's disappointing. It would be great to have you out there. But yeah, always a privilege when we get to go down the Valley. And it's our autumn outing.
Well, let's go to Rose Hill now and the Galaxy, the Group 1 Galaxy. We've already looked at the Golden Slipper. Private Harry is going here, $2.60. Briasa, $4.20. Who do you like in this race,
Rich? It's 1,100-meter handicap race. Probably Traffic Warden. Yeah,
out of that. I keep saying, I think I back Traffic Warden just about every start.
I know Fizzer, who's one of the better judges in the den, who's a good judge, has declared Private Harry. So...
All right. Well, what have we got next? Yeah, he's been in good form lately. Well, let's go to the Rambit. Via Sestina, $1.50. Dubai Honor. If it runs $5 second favorite, maybe the only real threat.
Yeah, I think there's a query about it. Will it actually line up?
So. Yeah. And then the George Ryder. If we look at this market for the George Ryder,
it's actually the Rose Hill Guineas.
Down my notes quite poorly. I am very interested to see Gold Rush Guru against Broadsiding here.
Sure.
So Treasure at the moment, they're at $17. It's not going. It's going to the Vinery and then onto the Oaks. So don't worry about that. This is the problem with these markets. But Broadsiding, $2.50 favorite there. And we'll go on to the George Ryder now. Fangirl, $2.50, $4.60. Chero Wolf, another Wolf, $6.
This is a great race.
Yeah, it should come up quite nicely. Now, this was where I Wish I Win was going to go.
Also where Mr. Brightside was going to go, but Mr. Brightside's been ruled out, might run in the All Age before going to Hong Kong.
I think it's going to Hong Kong. I don't think we'll see it again in Australia before it goes to Hong Kong.
So, it can't. It'd be making, because the All Age is 1 week before the Champions Mile in Hong Kong. There's no way it's doing both, is it?
No.
And I'd rather go to Hong Kong.
It's had its vaccinations. It's ready to roll, as I said last week. So, yes, another interesting market on a massive day. It's going to be very, very exciting. And the best part of it is our straight six next Monday, Rich, is easy because we'll just do the six group ones. Jeez, it'd have to be a good thing to knock out those, wouldn't it?
It would be. It displaces us. But we've done it again, Rog. I've enjoyed it as always. And
well done us.
Well done us. And I hope everybody out there has a great week. Try not to drink, like I'll be trying not to. And
Well, I mean, you've probably had too many over the weekend, Rich, as we've alluded to. I mean, St. Patrick's Day, the fact it was Sunday, Saturday, Monday, you just want to wind down after a dot-com in the den. Tuesday, you're still winding down after a dot-com. I mean, where does it stop with you, Richard?
It stops right now. The new Rich starts right now. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you later on.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.